this was a groundbreaking sort of a field, I suppose, to get into. And it just turned out that it was quite popular. But it's surprising how much stuff actually sold during the Depression. I mean, you would think, you know, there's no money to go around, so you would spend it on food. But they did do very well during the Depression with this Australiana ware. Yeah. It's called Melrose Art Pottery, and it's pottery that was produced by the Hoffman Brick and Tile Company down in Brunswick. The Hoffman Brick and Tile Company started in 1870, and of course they were making bricks and tiles for the building industry. When the Depression came along, obviously things got really, really tight, and the brickwork started to close down, and they opened up this department to produce artware, which is a most peculiar thing you would think during that period. But in the end, at the height of the Depression, that was the only department that was still going. All the drain pipes and the brickworks and everything, there was all, you know, all the men were stood down sort of thing, and the pottery was all that was going, making this lovely artware. And the theme, of course, was Australiana. And most of the pots and vases and things are embossed with kangaroos and possums and koalas and gum leaves especially, of course, and lots of pots with gum leaves and nuts on them.
So would anyone else have been doing that at the time?
Not at that time. The Remude Pottery, which was down in Preston, started a little bit later than that, and they picked up on the theme of gum nuts and leaves, but they were hand-applied, so the pots were actually hand-thrown, and then those leaves and gum nuts were applied, where the Melrose ware was all slip-cast. So somebody's made the master mould, and then they've made the working moulds and then produced the vases.
Do you know where they got the ideas from? Or
not really. I believe the manager of the day just instructed the mould maker to start making Australiana, which was a bold thing to do, I guess, at that stage. And in the 1930s, I mean, what would they regard as Australiana? I mean, we know today, but back then, everything, you must realise, was being brought in from England. So there was no really Australiana influence as such.
You've said that some of the items in this collection are quite reflective of the time they were produced. Is there a couple of items you can talk us through?
I'll cover the colours, if you like. The majority of the colours in them are sort of a lettucey green colour, which was very popular at the time. And then there's they brought in a cobalt blue. And later on, there was a sort of a pinky, grey, pinky colour, which was quite popular, but they didn't make a lot in that. And the last lot was quite a bright orange and yellow, which is really stunning, because the was one piece around there that when they've fired it, the glaze has run down between the leaves that are embossed on the piece, and it makes the leaves stand out even more. It's really quite a stunning piece, and they are really quite rare. So if you come across an orange and yellow piece, don't hesitate, grab it.
So why do you think they're so collectible now?
Possibly because they're only made for a short period between 31 and 42, and when they stop making, that's it. So what is available now is, you know, what the collectors are chasing. In my opinion, it's a must-see exhibition for people who collect in this era to start with, and those who are interested in this period, even if they don't collect Australian pottery. It's totally different to what you would normally expect to see from a single company who producing this kind of pottery.